up.
Did y'all wash your ass?
Yeah, we washed up. We washed up. We washed up.
I'm the double.
Well, I know Charisse. I washed up. I don't know about Charisse.
Don't come for Charisse. Charisse is back there on the camera. She in the back room right now. He talking about he don't know if she washed her.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
You are now tuning in to the Awkward Thinking Podcast.
Welcome back to iCarly. This is... No.
Charisse be counting down all of them, but what's up, y'all? Welcome to the Awkward Thinker Podcast. I'm your boy, Nas, a.k.a. Steve.
What up? I'm Vince.
And we are the friends you never knew you needed. All that in a motherfucking bag of chips, nah.
And a bag of chips is $3 now.
Inflation, nah.
Yeah.
Awkward Thinkers.
Woo! I miss our white people class.
I do miss our white people clubs. I miss the headphones. I miss the buttons. The mess ups with the buttons.
We need a little board out here where niggas
can just
need
a board.
Like,
we do need a board. Maybe we should go in on a board. More so, you pick. I put down $150. It's $600. So you put the rest down.
I put down like $6 on it.
Yeah, my credit's bad. So yeah, we gotta, you know, we
gotta make it work. Six. Hey, matter of fact, fuck all that. Our followers, our people, our audience, nigga, we need a board. Get on that shit.
Yeah, see, dude, when you engage, we win. We get the following we need. Mm-hmm. We get the money we want.
If you want to hear them white people clap, send $600 in so we can get that board.
Exactly.
Y'all know the Cash App.
Go ahead. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. You know, do what the damn do. What else do they need to do, Vince?
Make sure y'all sharing. That's the only way that we get out there is if you sharing. If our followers that are on TikTok, if you've been noticing that you haven't been seeing our stuff, you need to make sure you're going over and switching to who you're following. That way you can see our stuff. They're not going to show us in the For You page anymore because you follow us, so it's not for you anymore. Or it's not suggested content for you anymore. So go into that following page, go find us, search us, whatever you got to do on TikTok, interact with our shit. We've been dropping some dope-ass content lately, so interact with it, please.
So somebody hit me on the DMs about the review and what y'all need to write us reviews and write what y'all fucking like, because I'm tired of seeing sporadics. I appreciate the people who do it, though.
Yeah.
I appreciate the people who go out their time and be like, all right, let me write them, because it really motivates us a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
And it's just nice. It's like waking up to a compliment for no reason.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, okay. But she, it was like, I missed it because it was like in the requested on our TikTok, and it was like all the way from September 7th. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, who is this request to from? So it was a girl that I'm gonna say her name. Can I say her name?
I think you are, unless you about to tell our followers to go beat her ass.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so, unless you do some fuck shit.
Yeah. Don't do no fuck shit.
Ashley Shay.
Ashley Shay.
Yeah. She says, "Hey guys, I left a review on your podcast, on your Apple podcast, that people thought Nas wrote himself. But I just wanted to say that I'm a real person and I really love your show. Also, Nas is still my favorite."
Yeah, we sending our followers.
Nas is still my favorite, but both of y'all are the shit, and thank I appreciate you. The work that you do.
Appreciate
so
that.
I just want to just go back to the comment. Original comment that she
are posted. You paying this woman? Is this what this is? Is this extortion?
This is the, I'm about to go back to
embezzlement.
On our thing, and then we can, you know, jazz it up, get with the show.
Right. You would have think he already had the screenshot.
I think I do. I think I posted it, but I mean, it's good to go on the page and check it out. I agree with her with this too. She says, "I love the show, but Vince does not create a safe space for awkward thoughts. I feel the same way. LOL. He comes off pretty judgmental and barely lets Nas finish speaking before cutting him off to disagree. Nas is the man. He's hilarious, and he always has really insightful views on things." So I always thought that I was the favorite when it came to
this seemed like a paid comment though.
No. It's really not. And it's crazy because a lot of people really thought that I wrote this by myself. I was like, no, bro. And this was early on. Awkward thinking too. And
I remember us bringing this up in one of our episodes. That's why I think she said, like, I'm not a fake person.
Right.
Because that's all the proof.
Because I'm thinking it was one of our friends trolling. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, all right, it's one of our friends. Like, I ain't tripping too much. But then I'm like, I don't know nobody, like, with this name. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it is what it is. But how
that's
you been,
That's very man? Nice. I've been good. I had to cuss motherfuckers out over this on my off day.
You do that often. So
I don't.
Number one, cut the shit. You go on this fucking camera And then you act like this guy that, like, don't cuss people out, that don't, he's ignorant. You're ignorant in real life.
I can get ignorant. I can get ignorant. It's a difference. I'm not just.
You're ignorant in real fucking life.
I'm not. I can get ignorant.
Every Sunday we watch Baddies, this nigga is an ignorant nigga. And then he be preaching like, oh, I'm so good. Y'all should not be doing this. But
that's a lie. I'm not. That's a lie. If I'll watch some shit and we talk about us watching it on the show. So that's a lie. I'll watch some shit and be like, the way they did this was so lame. They shouldn't have set it up like that.
But then you was like, you have full dialogue like, oh, Biggie, this and this and this and that.
I do feel like sometimes we be watching that shit and we get caught up in it. We be like, but no, because the storyline is she would have just did this and that.
She shouldn't have said that. And she that fight wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, wouldn't have got her shit split.
I agree. But go ahead. Finish. You had to cut some motherfuckers out.
Yeah, I had to cut some motherfuckers out. I want to say yesterday. Yeah, I was off yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. My mother was on the phone.
Oh, okay.
And it was like one of those. And it was like, it was
You cussed your mom out?
No, not my mom.
Would you cuss your mom out, though?
No, I never cussed my mother could literally get, and she has gotten on my nerves, but I'm not going to ever disrespect my mother like that.
Is it disrespectful?
That
though?
Is.
Like, I'm not saying you would call your mom a B-word mm-hmm. or anything, but it's like.
I would not use cuss words to my mom. No.
Never?
Yeah, that's disrespectful. Like, just because I can cuss doesn't mean I should cuss towards her. Like, even.
That's real.
That's like me being like, hey, can you hand me that shit over there? I would not do that.
I slipped up and said some. Like, sometimes, I don't mind. I'm like, I need this shit. Or I'm talking to my mom and I'm cussing. Mm-hmm. But it's not like to her. I'm explaining something. But my mind goes idled because of that. But my fault. I'm cutting you off.
But basically, I just had to let motherfuckers know. Because people still have it in their head. Like, you know, I've been out of. I left Cleveland in 2016 and I never went back besides visiting for real. I left in 2016, never went back, and people still have who I was in 2016 in their minds when they think of me and when they approach me, and I'm not that same person no more. And nigga, that was damn near seven years ago.
So it's like I'm a
completely different person, nigga. I've experienced a lot within them 7 years, and I've grown a lot. And I just couldn't let a motherfucker disrespect me. And I got really disrespectful, and I didn't want to get like that with my mother and sisters on the phone.
Okay, was it the conversation I heard? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like, because I was like, one day I was getting ready for work and you was going off. And I was like, oh my God, what? It's 9 o'clock.
It
was yesterday. I was like, you're going off, bro.
I'm not like a person. I don't care to argue and shit for real.
Uh-huh.
But it's just.
That's a lie.
You can't.
You are lying.
No, like I like to debate a little bit, but like when it get to that point, because at that point, if that was us in the same room or in the same area, mm-hmm. that was some, okay, well, just pull the fuck up and shut up then.
Yeah.
Because it got to that point. But it was like, you just can't keep letting niggas think that they can disrespect you. And, like, it was my brother I got into it with. Mm-hmm. And I had to just explain to him, like, nigga, I'm your younger brother. I'm not your little brother, though. Mm-hmm. I'm younger than you. You can't little bro me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't fucking with some of the things that he was trying to say to me at that time, and just not being open to actual conversation, actual communication. It went from, hey, you know, what about this, to shut the fuck up. What do you think? What you know? You young as fuck. What do you? And that's what I had to tell him, nigga, I'm not young. Like, I'm young, but I'm not. You still see me as that kid. I'm not that nigga no more. I'm not that kid. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it just went there.
Did it make you feel good in a certain way to stand up for yourself?
Yeah, it always makes me feel good to stand up. Because this is my brother who I've always had conflict with, mm-hmm. like, growing up for the longest. And when I was younger, I would allow for him to, like, bully me. And, like, you know, I just give up. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm not going to keep arguing and fighting with you. But now it's like, again, because I've gone through these 7 years and I've grown into a person who's more secure in itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm, nigga, what the fuck? I'm a man just like you. Well, I'm a man and I'm a stand on mine. And I
stand
like,
on them toes. Yeah, what? Stand on them bitches.
Chill the fuck out. But it felt good just because it felt like I'm not going to keep giving you power to belittle me and talk to me like I'm a little nigga, because I'm not. Mm-hmm. And so I had to, it's like, you know, a nigga barking at you, you bark back.
Yeah.
And you show a nigga, like, we can do this. It's no problem to do that. Mm-hmm. And I, like, not to be like, I won.
Yeah.
But the nigga shut up. He shut up. Because after a point, it's like, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hit you where it hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother's son.
Yeah.
My mother is very good with her words, and when it comes to, like, cussing somebody out or getting on somebody, my mother can fuck you up with her words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I take after her with that. And so I'm going to fuck you up, and I'm going to fuck you up psychologically.
You such a bad bitch.
Shut up. For real. I'm going to just fuck you up. I can't go for certain shit no more. And it's not, like, trying to brag on her or nothing, but it's just – nigga, I done been through a lot, and I'm not gonna keep letting people just think that it's okay to just talk to me any kind of way, treat me any kind of way, and just think, all right, Vince is cool with that. Because 2016, Vince was cool with that, or he wasn't cool with it, but at least he wasn't cool with it, but he just didn't know how to speak up enough to say, like, you know, nah.
I what I can say with you is, I've seen a lot of growth. Especially within our friendship and with a lot of your character developments. I think you know, I think you were a person that were, you were a pushover, you know what I mean? And to a certain degree, like to certain people. And I think you evolving into your own man, I think that's the most beautiful thing to see. Stop being gay.
it's suicide prevention month, bitch.
It is suicide prevention. I thought that was in March.
No, it's
in
May. September.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was October. I'm lying. I'm just saying months at this point. I think it's a beautiful thing. Like I've been seeing you in so many different facets that I'm loving every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just loving how, you know, you are coming into your own man in your own way, and you know, you're doing things and taking responsibility. So I think that's one of those things where I'm championing you. It's like you've been training, we've been in the gym this whole time, and you know, we both help each other, we aid each other in this, but it's just like seeing your friend just develop into this person is amazing to see. Just to give him a few, this will never happen again. I tell y'all this all the time, this will never happen the fuck again. But in my life update, so I went to Philly. The funeral was funeral. I want to be really honest. I really want to be really honest about the funeral, and I really don't
want
to say
it. I want you to be honest, but I don't want to laugh because I feel like it's going to be.
No, it's not no bullshit. It's really not no bullshit, but I just feel like, my mom was like, well, why do you feel this way? And I was like, I don't feel like they sent my aunt off good. Like, I don't feel like the service was, like, on point. Like, and I was like, I don't think y'all sent her off good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and I know that sounds probably crazy to say,
but it makes sense. I get what you mean.
Yeah, because it was like this. I think my aunt deserved a little bit more oomph. You know what I mean? A little bit more passion with the singing and stuff like that. And you know, I know people. You know, things happen, schedules happen, and stuff like that. But I really wanted people to really show up for my aunt. You know what I mean? And champion her life. So that was that. Me and Charisse went to Philly for our friend's birthday as well during that weekend, and we were drunk out our minds. We left at 3 a.m. We didn't get out of our situation until 3 a.m. So we damn near pulled a whole 24 hours up.
Did y'all wash your ass?
Yeah, we washed up. We washed up.
I'm double
checking. Well, I know Charisse. I washed up. I don't know about Charisse.
Don't come for Charisse. Charisse is back there on the camera. She in the back room right now. He talking about he don't know if she was her. Don't do Charisse. She go fuck up our shit.
We went to an R&B concert, which was amazing, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I think you plus me, R&B, whatever the shit was called.
Who was there?
But let me get to it before I tell who was there. It was like everything R&B. Like, you know how, like, sometimes parties switch it up and they'll do, like, rap or something like this? No. It probably was R&B's from the 1925. Like, it was something that you didn't know, but it's like, it's a good vibe where everybody's still two-stepping, still having a good time. I'm so fucking awkward with the shit. A lady gets in front of me, starts dancing. I'm so drunk that I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. I was like, should I grab her waist? Should I do this? So I'm just, like, trying to figure it out. I get a drink bought for me from this person that we was with. And then he was like, yeah, these bitches choosy, this and this and this and this and that. And I'm like, bro, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just trying to do my own thing, bro. But 112 came out.
Oh, I would have liked that.
The 112 came out, and it was such a good vibe, mm-hmm. bro. Like, everybody was singing like they was in the shower. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was in sync, but to a certain degree. It was just feel-good vibes and everything. The next morning after took me out. Mm-hmm. I had to call CJ because I'm like, do I have alcohol poisoning? Because, I woke up at 6
and
something.
You called our alcoholic friend to see.
Yes, because I needed to know because I was eating everything. I woke up, number one, I ate popsicles and Slim Jims, which was not the best.
Was you doing to yourself?
I don't know. I bought a million things. Then I bought a corned beef sandwich. Ooh. I ate it. And I couldn't. I had to close my eyes while I was throwing up because I just didn't want to ruin anything that I ate. Mm-hmm. So I had to close my eyes. I didn't get well until brunch, and then we still drank a little bit more, and it was a lot. It was a lot that weekend. But overall, the weekend was solid. It was a solid weekend. And then I've just been in my feelings though. I've been in my feelings a lot.
About what?
I want to say, no. I think a lot has hit me, and mm-hmm. I've been moving so much, and I think I just had a moment of like, all right, Nas, get over it. Mm-hmm. It happened. Get over it. It happened. Get over it. And I think I'm at a point in my life where I need to sit in this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm at a lonely point in my life, and I'm sorry to damper it up for the listeners and stuff like that, but I feel like I'm at such a lonely, isolated point in my life where I'm looking for lifelines that are cut already. Mm-hmm. And I think I was like, I just need to sit in this and actually feel this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I relied on people, my dependency relied on people helping me through it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I think I need to, you know, it's going to be a time where, you know, your parents say it all the time. It's going to be a time where I'm not here no more. It's going to be a time where Vince is not here. It's going to be a time where Sharice is not here. Q, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a time where Nas has to do for Nas. And I think my biggest thing is now I cannot – anything that I want to do, I cannot attach something to motivate me to do it, if that makes sense. So if I'm going through something with an X situation, I can't attach that person's – to it to motivate me to do better. Mm-hmm. I have to have the will and the power to do it myself because I want to do it, not mm-hmm. because somebody made me angry, not because somebody made me feel some type of way. Nas has to want to do it, and that's the only way it's going to get done. I cut my hair. I'm really disappointed about that. And yeah, I'm just really fucked up about that because I think I made a commitment on a pod about it, and I wanted to see, you know, I didn't take care of it. I didn't take care of it for the most part. Mm-hmm. I can't say that, but I feel like that is a personality part in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this has had so, in my head, I was like, this has had so many episodes, so many memories, so many milestones inside mm-hmm. of my hair. That's how I felt, and I felt like for what I had to cut it for, a person won, and I didn't want that to be a thing for me. Mm-hmm. But my barber, he broke it down to me, and it was like, he was just saying, like, if you're going through a breakup or a heartbreak or something, or, you know, you used to something or emotional, whatever, mm-hmm. he said, it's okay to cut your hair because all that is tangled in there. Mm-hmm. He asked me to cut my beard. I said, no, nigga, I'm not trying to look like Chris Hemsworth need to come and grab me and shit. But yeah, he said, cut your hair, you know, you're going to feel good. And it was like, you know, it's always perfect timing. And I church it up with God and stuff like that, because it was like, either he sensed of what I was feeling, cause it wasn't our normal. Now I only went to God twice, but the mm-hmm. first time it was a great conversation. Second time he was like, he felt like my energy was off. Mm-hmm. Like I was making a big decision that I really didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like he just used all the perfect words or encompassed all the words that I needed to necessarily
get through that.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, I did some dumb decisions. I had an emotional relapse. And I was just like, I'm better than this. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I just had a moment of, I'm better than this. Like, this is the same script, just a remix. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is a new challenge. Like, I'm above this now. This was an old Nas, and you know, you're trying to hold on to old Nas, mm-hmm. and I have to find out what this new Nas looks like. You know what I mean?
It's like layers, like how an onion has layers. With us too, we have layers. So like, I think sometimes we go back to the shit that comforts us, or mm-hmm. the shit that we're comfortable with. So like, you have an emotional relapse, you going back through some of the things that you used to do. Mm-hmm. I think we all have cycles that we follow, especially when we are going through life. There are certain cycles that we get used to. We get used to not being on the rent on time, and so that becomes don't fucking do that. Don't do that. But what I'm
shady.
It's not shady, but what I mean is, because we get used to, like, if I grew up and I was used to not paying shit on time, and I was like, okay, that bill gets saved for another time, I'm gonna always expect that, instead of getting to the point where I can be like, I'm gonna save. And even though that is a hard part, I'm going to save and make sure shit is good. But like, when we're in that cycle is familiar for us. So we keep going through it, and we keep allowing the same shit to happen and to go through the same shit, because it's familiar and it's comforting to us. And it sometimes feel really, well, growing feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So when it's time for us to grow and it's time for us to make those changes, and it's like, damn, I got to kind of be more responsible. I got to be an adult, or okay, now I got to make these better decisions, or, oh, this is in my hands now. If it feels it's only on me, I can't blame this on nobody else. I can't say this situation stemmed from this. I can't say that this person is at fault for this, because this is my responsibility now. And so sometimes, again, when you're growing, it feels awkward and it feels weird. So we relapse and we go back into those cycles and those habits that we're used to, and that makes us feel comfortable, even though it's fucking us up the whole time.
Yeah, I think it's just I'm at a point in time, and I relayed the same thing to you when I was like, the reason why Adventure Time is one of my favorite cartoons, because I relate to Finn so much, mm-hmm. and I broke it down to Vince, because we was venting in the house and shit like that.
Our house conversations, I feel like, can sometimes they, because we'll have these great ass, like, deep in touch conversations in the house, and it'll be so simple. And then, like, we'll be like, okay, we need to say this shit for the podcast.
Yes, and then it's like, it don't come out the same, because it's not the same emotion right then and there. So it's like,
we just need a camera and a microphone going the whole time.
It's just going on. Just prop the phone up, boom, yeah. And we just going to go. You call it Saturday Takes or some shit like that. But yeah, like, it was, I relate to Finn so much, because it was just like a human, and I think he just pushed through so much and not recognized until closer to the end. Mm-hmm. Until I feel like things were being lost. Like, he knew that a girl didn't want him, and then he sought out, you know, Flame Princess, and things didn't really go out with mm-hmm. Flame Princess so well. Then they showed about his depression. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's just more of the journey, the different battles, the mm-hmm. different princesses and stuff like that. And I do relate, not to call you a dog, but I do relate Vince to Jake, because, you know, he's a guy in love. He wants children. This is the things, you know, and I see that in our dynamic and our friendship. And, I, you know, it's a comfort movie, because I always feel like it's I just know it's not always going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what's dwelling on me. And going back to a story, and then we can move on after this, it was an Uber guy, and it was an old man, and this was when I didn't, you know, we ain't had cars, and mm-hmm. I was working at Macy's and shit like that, and he was just going in, and he was just like, you know, all my friends are gone, and I was just like, damn, like, you know what I mean? But he's telling such these amazing, wonderful stories, but it felt like, you know, one of the hero, a young hero talking, and then an elder hero that was like, I had this past, you know, this and stuff like that. And, you know, now it's your time. It's, you know, to go through these mm-hmm. many beautiful people. You know, you might go through heartbreak. And speaking about just heartbreak in general, just a little segue on love and stuff like that. I'm going to just say that for later. Yeah, I'm going to just say that for later for a little time. But, yeah, we moved past this. It's been dark. We've been going a little dark, man.
Is it dark or is it just dark? Heavy?
I'm venting. I ain't mm-hmm. going to lie. I'm venting, and I haven't venting in a long mm-hmm. time, I feel like, because I be worried about the judgment sometimes I'm not ready for the truth yet.
Yeah.
That be the hardest part.
That do be hard. I don't know. Every time we do have the discussion of like, oh, you know, this is cool, but we know it's not going to be here forever, I always get not scared, but a little like
anxious.
Yeah, because I'm like, damn, it is like it won't be like this forever. And nigga, I don't know. I've been used to this for 7 years now. Yeah. So it's like to go from this to whatever is after, that's going to be really scary. That's going to be a new journey, a new path, all that. And nigga, I ain't even there yet. But it's like, it's kind of like graduation. It's like you know it's going to eventually come, but you don't know who you're going to be by that time. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to be going on, what's going to be afterwards, but you know it's coming. No matter what, it's going to have to come eventually.
Yep. I do. We have a topic about being in love. So I do want to. I know we've been, you know, dampering the mood, but I kind of want to lighten it up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And your perspective right now on being in love. How do you like? What's been up with that with you?
Being in love.
Yeah. What's been the good, the bad, the awkward about it?
Mm-hmm. I can't say there's been bad, and not to jinx myself. I'm a knock on wood, but it hasn't been bad yet. Like me and my girl Cheyenne, we take things very slow. So like we are pacing ourselves. We're not trying to rush into stuff. We go out on dates. Like we spend time together when we can. We're very realistic about the things that we both have going on. I'm working. She's working. She's about to be going back to school and stuff. I'm thinking about going back to school at some point. So that's stuff that we are considering. We're being realistic too, just about our relationship too. Like, you know, we love each other and it's a real love, but I know it's not like, you know how some people rush in and they just be like, yeah, this is forever and this is all that and this. And I can see Cheyenne being
your forever girl.
Yeah, my forever girl, like with no problem. Shut up. I can really see that. I can see a whole future and a life with her and everything. But it's, I don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that or rushes it. And then we get to a point where it's like, I can't see that no more. Or she can't see that no more. Because and we also, we're a year in. So it's like, we got to give things time. But I appreciate the time that we've taken and just the efforts that we've made. Like when it comes to communication, we try to be like very open with each other about stuff. We try to communicate. I'm struggling with certain things because I'm still going through or working on being vulnerable and stuff. And so, like, there have been times where stuff was going on at home, and I'm not saying anything. I don't say anything to y'all either, but I just don't say anything at all because I'm like, part of me doesn't want to comment on it, and then that creates a space for things to further take place.
Yeah.
And so, for me, sometimes it's like if I ignore it or if I pretend that it's not there, it goes away or it goes away on its own without a problem. But I kind of feel bad because there was something going on and she funked out. And it was just, she's like, why you ain't say nothing? Yeah. And I was just like,
I'm embarrassed a little bit about it.
No, not embarrassed. I'm not, because it wasn't embarrassing. It was like, I don't know. It was just, I don't want you to pity me. I don't want to feel pity. I don't want to, and not that she does that, but women see men going through something, they automatically become nurturers and they automatically want to be there for you. And I appreciate that and I like that, but I don't want it at the same time because I don't want it confirming what's going on. Yep. Basically, but that's also something I got to work through as well. And then her parents too just have been like very welcoming and very nice. Her mom texts me like we text often, almost every other day.
She sends the best long messages in the world.
But I don't mind. She always texts and she's like worried about her texting and stuff. And like, I don't want you thinking I'm trying to overstep, but and it's never like an overstep. She's never like stepping in and like, oh, well, y'all should be doing this or y'all should. Like, she does give us advice. Like, she's like, okay, these things are taking place. Y'all might want to look at that. But it's never in a way of like, well, here, I'm trying to control anything or I'm trying to make do with y'all relationship or whatever. It's always like, these things are coming up. I just want y'all to be aware that these things might be coming up. This might be something you might be interested in.
Yeah.
So just, you know, this and that. But she like, her mom is very nice. Her mom's very welcoming. She watches the show.
Yeah, she does. She's a very avid. She's an Aki.
Yeah.
She's an avid Aki.
She gives us critiques. She gives us suggestions.
Excuse me?
Critiques and stuff.
Critiques?
Yeah.
Critiques?
Critiques, critiques,
and whatever. You really just shot it.
I feel like it's critiques. She,
go ahead.
I'm going to say.
Okay. Go ahead. She, go ahead. She gets critiques.
You fuck me up. And the whole thing of, like, getting to meet somebody's family, I have never really done that before. Like, never really gone through the process of coming over, getting to know people, and then spending time. Like, I went on vacation with them and stuff, kicked it with them. We just tried to go bowling the other day. It didn't work out, but we sat and we ate together, played the lottery and stuff together a little bit. Yeah, it was just some fun stuff. But it's like,
that's what it's supposed to be about.
It is. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know. I was kind of expecting for her dad to be like
a dick.
Not a dick, but, like, you know, I just feel like nobody wants anybody, or
that's what their daughter.
Yeah, to be dating a daughter and stuff, and then you don't know
she's
who this
also
person
grown as
she
fuck,
is.
Though.
She is grown, and that I take that into consideration.
It's not like y'all teenagers.
Yeah,
dude.
But it's like, I don't know. It's like he's just been very nice to, like, when we was on the trip, we talked about, like, we have common interests, anime and stuff. We bonded over anime a little bit. I watched some of the shows that he suggested, and they was actually decent shows. And then now he does this thing where he goes to, like, storage bins and stuff. Like, he's one of them people.
Oh, he's there.
But, like, we went with him one time to, like, this.
To bid on some shit.
No, it was this.
Auction?
Not an auction, but it's antiques. It was like antique shopping. And it was like, it's nothing I've ever done before, but it was actually fun. It was interesting. Like, me and Cheyenne went on a little date there.
Yeah.
But it was cool. But he just recently got me something from, like, one of the bins. And that's just like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, somebody get you. I don't want to say too much. And then he'd be like, I don't really fuck with him.
I don't really fuck this nigga.
But no, he is. He really cool. And, like, the whole like, being in love thing, it is nice, too. I got a little bit more pep in my step. I'm walking a little lighter.
Yeah.
And
it seems.
Yeah. It's nice, too, because it feels like, you know, niggas, I was out here searching for a little minute. And so it just feels nice to.
Were you? Or were you just fucking?
I wasn't fucking. Don't say it. I wasn't.
Were you?
But I feel like when I became intentional, it was like, okay, I'm trying to settle down. These are the things that I want for myself and stuff. And I put in that effort to get that. It's like, that's when Cheyenne came around. And it was like, I don't know, shit just worked out the way I feel like it was supposed to.
Yeah. For me, I miss being in love, man. I know I be talking all this cash shit, fucking hoes, all this stuff, but I really do, like, miss being in love. I think I miss the dates, the memories, the shared laughter, the vulnerability of it. I'm not coming off of her, she not coming off of me, you know, that type of, this is us, like, this is a unit, you ain't messing this up, you know what I mean? I miss that. Or just to show off your girl, this is my girl, this is this, you know what I mean? I think I miss that aspect of it. And I think going through that phase of, I think I was going through a phase of waiting. Waiting for things to get better, and waiting fucked me over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, I was waiting, and I feel like I passed up on some decent girls due to my waiting.
But in defense.
Go ahead.
I would say, even though you feel like you might have passed up on decent girls and shit, I feel like that's more of a looks thing versus a
inner.
Versus I actually passed up on somebody who was like somebody who would have meant something to me.
No, it was one. It was one that was really. That was
I
it,
hope
but
you not talking about
we ain't gonna say it, but I think real talk, bro. It was that was it, bro. Like, I felt that one, bro. And I dated recently, you know what I mean? And I think my dating recently, she broke it down to me. She was like, you know, I'm not ready for this and this and that. And I think me getting to know someone like that, it felt good again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then in my naive mind, I'm like, you know what? This might be my little, you know what I'm saying? This might be my swerve. You know what, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I just was like, it kind of fucked me over because it wasn't something she wanted. Mm-hmm. But I had to respect it. You know what I mean? It wasn't her. You know, it might be in her era. She might be wanting to do her own thing. She might have just got out of, well, I knew she just got out of something. Mm-hmm. So it's just, she didn't want to hop in. And I could only respect that. You know what I mean? But back to it was just like, shit. Being in love was the best thing, I think, for me at a time where I was at a low, what I explained again. Mm-hmm. And I think I overdid it sometimes. I think I overgave myself.
Yeah.
And I think I learned from a lot of the mistakes. That's why I said, but you know what's so crazy about when I was in love? I said, oh, this shit gonna hurt. I was like, oh yeah, this I know I'm in love, but this shit finna hurt. When this is like, when we really start getting into this shit, and I was just sitting there and it did hurt. You know, it's still kind of hurting. You know what I mean? It don't hurt as bad, but it's still like a little tear. Like, you know, it's still like I had a real bad injury and I'm still trying to walk off the injury, or just still mm-hmm. trying to, it shit don't work the same how it used to work the same. You know,
I have not gotten to that point where I've experienced that yet. To, because I've dated, but I don't feel like I've had serious relationships. Like,
yeah,
not, and that's not to discredit any woman I've dated before, but I just feel like I haven't. There weren't things that I invested at that point. And again, in some of my past relationships, I don't think I was in a place to love people because I wasn't in a place where I was like necessarily loving myself. So it was things that I feel like I'm doing that are romantic and that I know that a person in a relationship does. But I don't think these are things that I'm doing because I necessarily love you. I think these are things that I'm doing because I know it's right to do it for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went through that little moment of not, up until now, not really being able to experience love, I feel like, in its full capacity, in the way that you're supposed to feel it. Mm-hmm. But I have not got to experience that heartbreak yet, that little...
I don't want you to ever feel it. I don't want you to ever feel it.
Yeah, that's some shit.
In any facet, you know what I mean?
I don't want to feel... I felt heartbreak. But I felt heartbreak through grief. I felt heartbreak through, like, death and stuff.
Yeah.
I have not felt heartbreak. And I don't know.
Or a breakup.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's through that grief and everything that it's, I don't know, like, not strengthened me, but more so made me to the point where that doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
Because if I can lose you permanently, like, in death, knowing that you're still around isn't too much of a, like, I know you're still here. And I don't know. I know everything has a season, too. So, like.
It's just hard to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. And what I mean is, like, hard to move on as in, this is going to sound wild as fuck. The coochie don't be feeling the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because it be love behind it. You know what I mean? Like, it. When you have sex, when you first get, you know, all right, I'm about to start having sex with other people, I'm about to start dating other people,
mm-hmm.
it just don't feel the fucking same. You know what I mean? Because it's something about it that it's like my emotions are really not tied into it. I don't have any passion behind this person. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing this act.
I also feel like it's still that thought in the back of your head, like, yeah, I'm doing this, but what is she out here doing?
It's one of those things, but I think either breakups can make you real cold,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on how it is. And I think it made me cold to a certain degree
because
mm-hmm. I felt like I was just doing shit out of body, out of spite, out of hurt. You know what I mean? And I didn't realize how hurt I was. I was like, yeah, I'm okay. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I'll do this. But I think it was just one of those things where it was just like, oh, it got real dark. You know what I mean? Like, I think I was just a whole different Nas at a point in time. Mm-hmm. Like, and it spooked me. It didn't spook me, but it was just like, shit, nigga, you know?
That, it got real sticky at one point because I remember sometimes commenting on, like, and I don't know if you remember, but I know I used to comment on some of, like, your actions when it came to dating and stuff. Yeah. And I know we kind of bumped heads a few times about that because, you know, overstepping.
Yeah. And shit. You do that a lot, but go ahead.
We do. But I don't know. I noticed during those times, like, where stuff was going on with you, and I'm like, you know, you got to get it together because that ain't nobody else's problem. Yeah. Like, that's not, you know, somebody else's, mm-hmm. for somebody else to deal with and shit.
I think, and I hate giving this nigga credit. I hate giving this nigga credit. My sins were killed said it best.
Oh, I thought you was going to give me the credit. Fuck you.
No. My sins were killed said it best. He said, it's just because you're not physically in that person or letting that door in, but you are opening, like answering calls, you doing this, you're still letting that door open.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to close it. As much as you think you have control over this, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so invested and you don't know how invested you are. But yeah. As soon as that person does anything or it gets over, you're going to feel the most hurt out of this. So it was, yeah, I hate giving the nigga credit, but he was right. You know what I mean? He was right. I left the door cracked a little bit, let the air through, and then the shit opened wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
That breeze went through.
Yeah. Let's talk about something a little lighter, man. Or do you have anything else you want to add on to anything?
Anything good been going on?
Anything good? No, nothing's been fucking. This has been my good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, even though we're in a rough, you know, out people outside pie, and we still trying to get discovered, shit like that. This is my baby. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And this is my good. This is who I brag about. This is what I love to do. When I don't do it, I kind of do get a little like. Mm-hmm. Sad a little bit, I'd be in my ways, but I understand, you know, things happen when the time is supposed to happen. I'm not in this big ass rush anymore.
Yeah.
Like how I used to be like, this is a rat race. I'm doing enough. And I have to realize my enough is what is required.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's only so much you can do. And I know people be like, you gotta work, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. But what are you producing if you're working that much? Because you missing something.
It's not even when are you producing. It's when do you have the time to create? Because it's like if you so busy producing, when do you create? When do you have the time to sit down and think and process things? And not I feel like Lauryn Hill said it best. I keep seeing this video of her going around on social media. Is she on the stage? Is she just talking about everybody wanting an album? Everybody wanting this next? But it's like you're not giving me time to experience and then
time.
Translate what I'm experiencing. You just won't. You want shit and you want it out. You want content fast.
Yeah.
But it's like, can it be good content?
And exactly. And I think a lot of the times where, you know, we 70-some episodes in, we should be at 100. But I feel like, I don't know. I think a lot of the times we've overproduced and made bullshit.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, we learn from our mistakes and stuff like that. But I'd rather, hey, we might go 3 weeks without an episode, but this 3 weeks we might give you some shit. This is the most candid I think I've been to talk about what I've really been dealing with. Like I talk candidly about shit about in here and give y'all a bit of my personal life, but I think this is the most that I've said. Yes, nigga, I am at a low. I'm feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. I'm this and this and that. No suicidal shit, because if I make it a clip, I don't need you niggas to be like this. You know what I mean? And then I'm looking through my grid and I'm like, this is my dark arc. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is my dark arc. And I just got to really realize and just sit in that. And I think just I'll look at this digital footprint and be like, wow, look how far we've come. You know?
Because this is damn near like journaling. I think about just writing shit down every day, even though I don't. Because I just don't want to write shit down and somebody pick it up and be in my business. And now it's like, you know, my shit is displayed to the whole world. But this, I feel like I have power in this. Mm-hmm. I'm telling my narrative. It's not you just reading it and then you coming up with whatever you think I'm going through. I'm telling you what it is I'm going through, and I'm explaining to you my thought process through it. I'm explaining to you how certain shit has, certain experiences have made me look at certain things a certain way, all of that. But this, we always say this, is very therapeutic. It's very good for us to just get shit off our chest and let shit out.
Yeah.
And this be a perfect place to do it in front of these cameras, in front of the whole world.
Yeah.
Because I be having shit to say. And I got more shit to say, but it's just like,
Not that we got to get to a certain point before I feel comfortable talking or speaking on certain
but
things.
But I feel like we do. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, right now I'm not going to give too much because this is going to get lost. You know, we're going to be on episode 200-something.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be lost at a point in time. I want to tell shit when I know it's going to actually make an impact.
Yeah.
When we have that amount of people that is actually going to apply certain shit that we say. Not everything, because we be on bullshit sometimes.
Yeah.
But apply the shit. You know what I mean? And I feel like who, you know, because people say, who are you talking to? Who's your audience? But I feel like I'm talking to people who don't listen but listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking to a hard-headed person. That's when I'm on this. That's what I feel like. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, if I had somebody to really guide my hard-headedness, I feel like I'd be well off. But it's something about hearing it in a third person mm-hmm. or somebody that's not in your inner circle and hearing it from a different perspective. Like, wow, okay, yeah, I really need to get my shit together.
I think it's because when you hear shit from an inner circle, just like I just made a comment about rent and mm-hmm. shit, and it was not that was not towards anybody at all.
I'm a send this to him too.
But this bitch laughed. It's like that. It's like I can't hear anything from my inner circle. I can't hear anything, especially something towards my situation, because then I'm going to just feel slighted. I'm going to feel mm-hmm. like, you know, and then some people don't be open to advice from people in their yeah. inner circle. And I do understand that, because it just be like, nigga, we here together.
Because, you know, I honestly, and I look at it like this, hurting feels good at a point in time.
Mm.
And it's one of those things where it just like, you know how like you got a scab and you just keep pushing that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels. Sometimes we don't, like I said, I don't like to always, I'm not ready for the truth. I'm not ready for my friend's critiques. I'm not ready for the advice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be dumb right now. I want to be naive right now.
Amanda Seales, I just was listening to one of her episodes and she was talking about blissful ignorance or something like mm-hmm. that. And she was saying how a lot of us are aware of the shit that we're going through. We're aware of our suffering and what's causing our suffering, but we're not doing anything to change it because, and it goes back again to that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
If I change it, I have to now endure a different kind of suffering that I'm not used to. Even though this suffering might grant me growth, I'm not used to it. So now I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to keep going into my continued cycles of the same shit that I'm used to. Again, I know I can push the rent a couple of days. I know I can push this bill for a few days instead of making it to where I'm doing what. And stop, bitch, because I'm not. This ain't about nobody specific. That's just a general thing. It's not about nobody specific. But I know I could do these things. But if I do them, that means I'm going to have to show some determination. I'm going to have mm-hmm. to show some discipline. And I'm not ready for that. Motherfuckers don't be ready for that. And goes back to choosing to be hurt, choosing to just mm-hmm. stay where you at and remain where you at. It's all that. Like, the shit hurts, but it hurts to grow sometimes. And yeah. nigga, you need to grow, or else you're going to be where you're always at, or you're going to always be where you're at.
Yeah. And, you know, I just feel like now at my adult age, I'm feeling everything I need to feel.
Mm.
I'm not going to ignore my feelings. I'm not going to be this the guy's guy, the bros, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm really going to feel this shit. I'm really going to feel what I need to feel, because that's the only way I can get mm-hmm. up from any situation.
Feel and process it.
Yes.
Like, that's all niggas can do is process what we going through and then put it back out there. And you don't got to put it back out there. If you hurt, that don't mean you need to put hurt back out there.
Yeah.
But that the same way, again, niggas said, like, we be going through our shit and we come in here and we talk about it and we feel relief afterwards. That's how you let that shit out. That's how you do something creative with it. Put it in something. You don't need to be hurting and then go around hurting other people. And this is what I'm explaining to my kids at work and shit. Just whatever you feeling, you don't have to hold on to that anger, that sadness. You can let that shit go. And it sounds easy to say let that shit go, but sometimes we literally choose to hold on to that feeling. And we be like, well, I'm upset and I'm going to just stay upset because I'm okay with being upset.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us just being like, fuck it, I'm going to switch it up and I'm going to let this shit go. Let that shit go.
Let that shit go. You want to wrap this thing up?
Yeah.
All right. We've been sad all episode, guys.
I don't feel like we've been
this has been great. This has been great. Mm-hmm. I fuck with it. You know what I'm saying?
It's cute.
It's about that time.
where we find young niggas, you know what I'm saying? Give y'all some positive message to get through the week, you know what I'm saying? What's your positive message to get through the week, young boy?
Now is not forever. Again, that's something I just went over with my kids. Now is not forever. It's a lot of shit that we are holding on to right now in the moment. And we suffering. And instead of us realizing, especially when you're young, anybody who has not hit like 21 yet and shit, even 25 at this point, and you just feel like shit is not in your control, give it some time. Allow the world to work out however it's going to fucking work out. And then when you get to that age where you do have more control, use your control for the right shit, or start putting yourself in a better place right now. Like, if you are somebody, let's say you 16 and you watching this shit right now, start putting yourself in a better position so that way when you at 21, you don't have to worry about certain shit. You don't have to worry about paying rent at somebody else's house or doing some other weird shit somewhere else. Put yourself in a position where you can be successful later on. That's all I'm going to say.
My positive message to get through the week is, I don't know, man. I think I can't give no advice right now in my dark era. I know it's like I'm trying to find some light in it, you know what I mean? But I think it's just one of those things where, once again, I'm finding myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And through this journey of finding myself, I might find some gold. I might find a bronze. I might find some silver, whatever. But I have to find out what I like, and that can apply to your life. You got to find what you like. Mm-hmm. You got to find out what you going to do. Don't fixate over a person. Don't look at somebody else's grass. Just do what you feel is in your heart's heart to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually, sidebar, you know, doing boxing helped me a lot, and it's still helping me, but it helped me realize where I'm falling short at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's visible, you know what I mean? Because it was like, you're overthinking it. You're getting fucked up because you're overthinking it. Stop. What are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Like, that's one of those things, huh?
You said what? You back on line?
No, but it's one of those things. It's legit. Like, they will always say, like, you're overthinking the kick. Mm-hmm. You're overthinking the punch. Like, just punch. Like, just do it. You know what I mean? And I think that's my biggest thing, because I'm overanalyzing every situation, every intricate mm-hmm. way, everything. And it's just like, just let go.
Yeah. That should be a little bit more natural. Let it.
Yeah.
But that's what everything. Let shit come to you naturally.
Yeah.
Or at least, because I feel like it's okay to manifest shit. But it's like, yeah, don't rush it. Like, don't force shit to happen just because you need it to happen. Let shit happen to you naturally in its own time.
Yeah. And like always, make sure that dick clean. Make sure that pussy clean. You know what I'm saying? Make sure don't, you know what I'm saying? Get checked up.
Yeah.
It's a lot of y'all fucking a lot over here.
Homecoming about to come up. Please don't come down this bitch with no STDs.
Hey, man.
Get that shit checked out. Motherfuckers need to have a condoms. What's that shit? My health? My chart?
Yeah.
Have that my chart ready.
Staple
for homecoming.
Staple that bitch on your shirt like a graphic tee.
Yeah.
Actually, get some graphic tees with your my chart all homecoming weekend.
You want to be bold, bitch? That's how you do it.
Just
put your my chart on your shirt and then walk around with that bitch. And see, let's see what kind of action and shit you get.
Exactly. With that being said, I'm Nas.
I'm Vince.
Also, wait, before we end it off, thank y'all for tuning in. If you're new, you know what I mean, welcome to the Aki space, man. Welcome to the mm-hmm. safe space for weird thoughts, man. So I appreciate all the Akis that give us some encouragement every single week, to give us some comments, likes, a view. We appreciate y'all to the fullest. And back again, I'm Nas.
I'm Vince.
Thank you for being awkward with us. See you next week.